This morning, I'm going to speak briefly from the book of Genesis, briefly intentionally because we want to do something in the end with all of the fathers regarding prayer and a time of communion. And I hope that you will be receptive to that invitation in the end. On that note, today is Father's Day, and it is an honor to stand before you this morning, especially because today marks the 100th anniversary of Father's Day. June 13th, yeah. Father's Day was founded on June 13th, 1910 by Sonora Dodd in Washington. So we certainly want to celebrate and honor all of the dads today. By the way, happy Father's Day to all the dads in the house. And when I was preparing today's message, I came across a few jokes that I thought were appropriate for this morning. And I hope that you will find them humorous as well. The first is by Bill Cosby. He said, "Fatherhood is pretending the present you love the most is soap on a rope." Do y'all remember the soap on the rope? Someone else said, "A loving father," and I can relate to this one, "carries pictures where his money used to be." And last but not least, this was a small boy's definition of Father's Day. He says, "It's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much." I thought that those were cute. Speaking of spending, Newegg, Inc., the second largest online retailer in the U.S., conducted an online poll about dad's preferences for Father's Day. When asked which gifts would make your dad happiest on Father's Day, more than 42% answered a home theater system. 26% desired a fully loaded toolbox. 10% desired Blu-ray players, pocket camcorders, and fish finder GPS devices, rounding out the survey at about 7% each. Just as these are preferred gifts intended to make life less complicated and more enjoyable, I believe that fathers are gifts out of God's toolbox shared to make the world a better place. Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our radical redeemer. Move me out of the way, O Lord, and just have your way in this atmosphere. Speak to me, through me, and for me. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, happy Father's Day to all the dads in the house. And if we can just bring up the scripture quickly from the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Listen carefully to the word of God. "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Someone say favor. "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And here's verse 9. "And this is the account of Noah. Noah was righteous, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God." He was righteous, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. I want to take you back to verse 8. "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." In the midst of all of that darkness and evilness and chaos, the word of the Lord comes to him saying, "But Noah," comes to us saying, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And so just briefly this morning, I want to minister from verse 9 along the lines of fathers who find favor. Fathers who find favor. Friends, the word father in the Greek is pronounced pater. It's where we derive the word paternal from. Pater is defined as one who is a leader, is defined as one who is chief, is one who's defined as a ruler or a king. You may recall 1 John chapter 3, "How great is the love the father," the pater if you will, "has lavished on us." From this, we get great examples. For instance, Fathers are pillars that you can lean on. They are shoulders that you can cry on. They are laps when you're a kid you can sit on. They are wells of wisdom that you can depend on. Fathers can be classified as the shapers of our society. Fathers have contributed to the formation of this great nation. You know them by name: Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, can all be given credit as being founding fathers of our nation. Well, just as we have in American history founding fathers, in biblical history we also have patriarchal fathers, fathers such as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, this morning when I was preparing, well, last week when I was preparing, I began to search for an ideal father who embodied all of the key characteristics of what a successful dad embodies. And as I was searching for an example, I came across a reference to Noah. To Noah, who's actually an early patriarch. Noah's name means peace, rest, and comfort. And Noah provides a great example and model for us today. You've just heard the text. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. And out of the entire world, Noah was the only one who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And even God, in explaining this to Noah, exemplifies great fatherhood. First of all, God saw. He saw. He looked out on the world and he took notice that man's heart, every inclination in man's heart, had become evil. And the Bible says it grieved God's heart. He even later said that my spirit will not always contend with man because of their wickedness, and every thought within their hearts is inclined to do evil. So first of all, God saw. And after God saw, he also sensed. He sensed. In other words, he felt the pain. He felt the impact of widespread evil and wickedness, etc. And thirdly, he said. Now, as a dad, I can relate to this. Because so often when I'm home and I'm telling Zaire, quit it. And Nigel, stop it. And Trinity, come on, give me a break. I mean, I'm seeing. Oh, come on, dads, y'all can relate to this. I'm seeing, I'm sensing, and because of what I sense in their behavior, I have to step up to the plate and say something. I have to address the issue. And that's what God was doing. And he approached Noah addressing the issue, and Noah responds. Verse 9 is so wonderful because it says, Noah was a righteous man, a blameless man among the people of his time, and Noah walked with God. And friends, I believe that if you and I are going to grow in the favor of the Lord, you and I must be righteous, blameless, and we must learn how to walk in the favor of the Lord. Amen, church? And so this morning, in brief form, what I'm going to do is take verse 9 as an outline, and I'm going to walk through the text here. First of all, the Bible says Noah was righteous. Noah was righteous. There's a wonderful verse in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 17. Listen to the word of the Lord. It says, I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. Think about that a minute. I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and you rejoice when you find integrity there. How many of you realize that God rejoices when he finds integrity and righteousness within our hearts? Do you understand that? Amen, church? He rejoices when he finds integrity and God-fearing character and righteousness in our hearts. Now, I know some of you all are thinking, well, to be righteous means to be holier than thou, to walk around, you know, pompous and pious as if you're all that in a bag of chips. But actually, it doesn't mean that. Righteous does not mean that you're perfect. Righteous doesn't mean that you're going to make it to every PTA meeting. Righteous doesn't mean that you're present at every football game. Righteous doesn't mean that you never lose your temper with your kids. Noah was righteous in a different sense. And the Bible helps us to understand what this depth of righteousness is all about. Listen to Romans, if you can bring it up, chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. It helps us understand righteousness in a different context. It says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. If you remember in Genesis chapter 12 through 15, the story of Abraham, when God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham took his only son and walked him up to the mountain and was just about to sacrifice him. And God told him to stop. And he told him to look, a ram was in the bush, and Abraham was able to take that ram and sacrifice that ram. And that act, that courage, that faith was accredited to Abraham as righteousness. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that we are not righteous through our good deeds, but we are made righteous through our faith in God. Amen, church? And so when it says that that Noah was righteous, he was righteous in his faith with God. So how do we become righteous? We become righteous through our faith. Habakkuk 2 and 4 closes this deal regarding this by saying, the just shall live by faith. If we're going to be righteous, we have to do it through faith in God. We have to become righteous through our faith and our belief in Almighty God. The second thing that the text reveals to us, if we're going to be successful and growing in favor with the Lord, is that we're going to have to become blameless. Blameless. Verse 9 says, Noah was not only righteous, but Noah was also blameless. Blameless. Proverbs 20 and 7 helps us understand this with greater clarity here. It says, the righteous man leads a blameless life, and blessed are his children after him. The righteous man leads a blameless life, and blessed are his children after him. The text kind of reveals this in essence, because when the floods came, Noah was able to receive in the ark his three sons, their wives, and his wife. And I believe because of Noah's righteousness and him being blameless, he was able to receive what I understand to be transferable favor. Transferable favor. Everyone wants transferable favor. Everyone wants not only their children to be blessed, but also their grandchildren to be blessed. And because of Noah's faithfulness in God, Noah received transferable favor. Not only was his life saved, but also his sons' lives were saved, and their wives were saved. And because of just one man's righteousness and faith, and because of one man being blameless before the Lord, his favor became transferred. How many dads in the house today want their favor transferred to their children? I was just talking to a friend in St. Pete who has a timeshare with one of Hilton properties, and he says, I don't care what they do, they better not sell this property, this timeshare. I paid $16,000 for it, and I want them to pass it down through the generations. And that's what favor is all about. I hope that we are praying in such a way and living in such a way and spending quality time with God in such a way that the fruition from our relationship and the fruit from our worship can be passed down to our children's children. Amen, church? Noah's favor was transferable. Psalm 15, 1 and 5 says it this way, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who keeps his oath even when it hurts. But Daddy, you told me you were going to be to my football game. Daddy, you told me you were going to take me to Disney World. Daddy, you told me you were not going to miss my recital. It's saying here, one who keeps his oath even when it hurts. And let me be a witness before your congregation. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's aggravating. Sometimes it's annoying. But if I'm going to be successful in receiving the favor of the Lord, I have to be a man who keeps my oath and a man who keeps it even when it hurts. In verse 5, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Noah gives us testimony that in the middle of the storm, his life and his character and his person in heart with God, it was not shaken. because he was a righteous man, blameless. And it brings me now to my third point. Not only was he righteous, not only was Noah blameless, but it also says that Noah walked with God. That Noah actually walked with God. There's another biblical example of a man who walked with God, and he walked so closely with God. His name is Enoch. He walked right past death into everlasting life. They couldn't even give him a funeral because he was walking so closely with God. Friends, I'm convinced that when we walk with God, God begins to take us places we never dreamed of. We begin to see things we could never imagine. We begin to hear strange things that have never been heard. Noah heard the voice of the Lord tell him to build an ark, heard the designs and all the intricate details of the ark. He heard God order him to take animals two by two and to take his sons, and he gave them strict instructions regarding rations and daily portions of food, etc. Noah heard from the Lord. If we're going to experience the favor of God, we have to learn how to walk with God. As the scriptures declare, we walk by faith and not by sight. Friends, I hope that you are interested in growing in the favor of the Lord. And in closing, if we would just be righteous, if we would just be blameless among the people of our time, and if we would just walk with God, I believe that we can grow in the Lord's favor. Tell you a quick story before I hasten to a close. When I was in the fifth grade, I was walking down the hallway to fourth grade class, etc. I was in the fourth grade, walking down the hall to class, and one of the teachers got on me and said, hey, hurry up and get to class. And I turned to her, and I shared some unpleasant words with her. I dare not repeat them this morning. And she looked at me, and she grabbed my wrist and hauled me off to the principal's office, and there I was, just crying, knew I was in big-time trouble, and was written up on a referral, was so afraid and terrified to go home because I knew what was coming when I got home. I intentionally missed the bus to try to get some grace through my mom and try to explain things as we were driving home. That didn't work. And when mom took me home, she just said, go and tell your dad what you did. And I walked in dad's room. He had worked long hours and was in the bed resting and had to disturb dad. I said, dad, I got a referral today. And when he opened the referral and he read what I did, he told me to go get the belt. And the rest is history. And I got a whooping. I got a whooping. I didn't know I can holler so loud. I tell you, it was one of those old-fashioned good whoopings. And when he was whipping me, he told me at the end of the spanking, we're Allens and we don't talk that way. We're Allens and we don't talk that way. My dad was instilling in me integrity. He was instilling in me, through discipline, character. He was showing me how to live a righteous life. He was showing me how to be blameless among the people of my time. And he was teaching me at an early age that we're Allens and we're walking with God. He was transferring in my heart his wisdom. And I thank God for that gift today. Aren't you proud of the dads that represent us today? Put your hands together in honor of the dads. Amen. Hallelujah. In closing, I just want to share this poem with you. The author is unknown, but I think it speaks volumes to the beauty of fathers. What makes a dad? God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the death of a family need. Then God combined these qualities when there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. I share that with you from the bottom of my heart to all the dads in the house. Now, friends, as we transition, I want the dads in the house to stand at this time. Come on, all the dads in the house. You can stay standing, actually. Stay standing. We need to see the fathers. We need to see who represents the community. Amen. Now, if you are here with dad, this is what I want you to do. I want you to surround your dad right now as quickly as you can by laying your hands on his shoulder. Come on, move quickly. Just lay your hands on his shoulder. There may be some dads without kids. Find that one dad standing alone and somebody put a hand on his shoulder. Just look around you quickly. Come on, this is a special moment. Special moment. Okay, so all dads should have a hand on your shoulder. Okay. What we're going to do is ask God's blessing upon all the dads in the house today. Is that all right? And that hand on your shoulder represents that you are not alone, that God is with you. Let us at this time go to the Lord in prayer. God, it's not often that we get to honor dads. And so we come this morning. We thank you, O Father, for dads who are righteous, for dads who are blameless, and for dads who walk with God. Now, God, there may be some dads who are not righteous. Maybe some dads who are not blameless. Maybe some dads who are not walking with you. We pray for them this morning. God, we pray that you would just give us a stronger presence with our family. Let our families realize how much we sacrifice for them. God, I pray that you anoint every father with financial blessings, with spiritual blessings, blessings upon their health, their wealth, and their well-being. They're going out as well as they're coming in. Some dads are beat down right now. They're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. But we know because your presence is with us, we can make it and we can go on and see what the end is going to be. Touch our hearts. Strengthen us where we are weak. Help us not to be embarrassed to allow our families to see us struggle and even cry. Help us, O Lord, to pray more with our families and to be present at football games and baseball games, at musical recitals, spending quiet time alone before dinner time. God, whatever it may be, help us to be more engaged. We love you, God, and we bless you for being the greatest example of what fatherhood is all about. In the name of Jesus, we ask these blessings, hoping to receive everything according to faith. Amen. At this time, Dad, stand where you are. If you will just be escorted by your family down to Holy Communion. At this time, just make your way and come receive Holy Communion together as a family. And if you can, serve your dad this morning. Serve your dad this morning. I just want to add a few more details regarding what you can do for your fathers. A foot rub is good. A full body back massage is great. Take them out to eat. Honor and respect and celebrate dads today.